Hey everyone, welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jerry.
And welcome back. So we've been on hiatus now for, oh geez, what Jerry, 5 months I believe?
Something like that.
Yeah, so, and the reason for it, and we did post about it, is with the downtick in Paper Magic, because that was the biggest thing we covered, was Paper Magic play. The Snapcast is doing great with hitting events, getting guys qualified for the Invitational, but due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic and the cancellation of Paper Magic events, we decided there's really not a lot to talk about. We aren't the biggest fans of Magic Arena, and I mean, we've vocalized that quite a bit. And like with Magic Online, there really hasn't been a whole lot going on. But thankfully, we have Mana Traders that came out and they've been able to provide us a lot of great stuff. Gen Con is doing a wonderful online thing. And then, of course, we got Double Masters coming out. So we figured, you know what? Let's, instead of doing weekly podcasts, we'll probably do like a monthly. So we'll do like an end of month wrap up. Here, we're kind of just kind of spitball, talk about whatever. But first off, as always, Jerry, man, how have you been?
Yeah, man, I'm good. I'm back on normal work hours, at least. You know, no new cases of coronavirus at the hospital.
It's good.
As for Magic, we'll be finally restarting our league. We were continuing off the last season's league, and it extended way more months than it needed to.
Okay.
And this is for my game store in Lamont, Illinois. Game Storm, total plug-in. Love going there. Good price payouts. Love to see more people. We do a Friday night league, outside of we do use the Wizard system when it's up and available, but we also have our own thing where we end up doing a end of year 8 people duke it out in a single elimination tournament.
Oh, very nice. You know, good attendance and things like that.
Great attendance. We first restarted. We were up to 12, but now we're hitting around 25, 30 a night.
Oh wow! And what have you noticed? Like, has there been any different mannerisms with the whole coronavirus thing? Like, fewer handshakes, or people being more mindful of like hygiene and things like that?
No, not really. I mean, where people are basically, you know, you wear your face mask, you do your thing.
Okay.
That's about it. Nothing. No one's going too crazy. Nothing. You know, no one's coming in a hazmat suit. We'll say that much.
Right, and like no one's coming in that's like coughing or showing symptoms that could be.
No, so, we tell them to get out. Like, right. if you're sick, don't come.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much a given at any Magic related event. I'm talking to you guys at Grand Prix.
Absolutely, yeah. That's I think the biggest thing that needs to get taken away from this just in general is open weekend crud, Grand Prix crud, definitely a thing. And now with the coronavirus out there, it can be a little bit more severe.
I'm gonna go on a light tangent here. I've done this before. I mentioned it like maybe 50, 60 episodes ago. But there was like a string of Grand Prix I went to. After each one, I came back rip-roaring sick. Like, I got somebody something, and they shouldn't have been there.
Right.
Now is like the time where if you're that sick and you feel good a week later and it's time for the Grand Prix, don't come. Please don't.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't want your nonsense.
And that's going to be even more so if we do have any major Paper Magic events for the rest of the year. And we'll get to that here towards here in a little bit too. Future of paper events for 2020. As for me, being in the military, we have a lot more stricter requirements that are being put on us just because of the risk that we can pose to the defense and the deployability of units. I'm pretty much on lockdown. I have a 50-mile radius. I can go hang out and do whatever, but I shouldn't like be going to game stores and playing games. So sadly, all of my play has been Magic Online, Magic Arena, and I've used this as a really good break. We were grinding pretty hard in the open scene January, February. Again, trying to get everybody qualified as quickly as possible. You guys remember we were able to get out to Indy. We actually got a big group Snapcast gathering together. It was awesome.
That was great.
To see everybody and hang out again. Some of us hadn't seen each other in years. But yeah, I took a break. I've been playing like Minecraft. I picked up Diablo 3. We've been jamming that. Tyler has been streaming a lot of Call of Duty on Twitch lately too. And so we've been blasting that. So that's why you're seeing like promotions for like Coco Lopez and Tyler and Zach Gollum all playing, you know, like Call of Duty. And that's just, it's what we're doing now to get our competitive outlet.
Right. So are we basically saying that the Snapcast is starting to branch out into other things? Is that a possibility?
You know, I think this is a really good time to discuss that, and that we are trying to branch out and see what different areas we can cover. Tyler has done well with picking up a couple other really good Call of Duty players, and they've been joining up in these weekend events, and it's like kill races and things like that. You have a few hours, top X number of games, and they're slowly working their way up. It's just, man, that field is rough. It's very competitive, but they've been doing a great job at grinding, getting ready to go. I think last weekend or 2 weekends ago, they posted about 100-point spread, which is good, but first place was, I think, 198 or 200. So it's still missing the mark, but we're getting there. Same with Andrew Lopez. Andrew Lopez has been killing it. I can't remember what his last point score was. It was pretty outstanding, though. I would say significantly better than Team Tyler. But yeah, we are expanding a bit. So anticipate more if you do follow the Snapcast on Twitter. And if you don't, definitely give us a follow. We post a lot of stuff now. You will see us posting about Call of Duty. You will see us posting about Smite, which is, for those who don't know, it's similar to League of Legends, but instead of the characters from like League of Legends or Dota, these are different types of gods and that are used. And we got a Smite team that is getting built up right now as well.
Nice.
So we are slowly expanding out into the various areas of esports, if you will, just to see, and anything just to have fun. That's the biggest thing, is have a group of people together as a team and then have fun. And I think that's the biggest thing that draws us to a team. Either a Magic team or any kind of esports team, is you have a group of people working together that want to improve each other and support each other and just have fun. That's the biggest thing, and everyone's having a blast with it.
Support me! Ah, white mage down!
Yeah, pretty much. But we have been able to, as I alluded to in the beginning, play in some competitive Magic Online events. Not Magic Arena, because Star City Games has shifted to Magic Arena. And as has the Magic Fests, they have shifted to Magic Arena as well. And as far as we've been able to see, Magic Fests for the remainder of the year have been canceled. They've moved all the players' tours, finals, and that online to Magic Arena. Star City Games has stated that they are not going to announce anything for Season 2 until at least September timeframe. So we're looking at about another month or so. So hopefully next month, whenever we do our August episode, we'll have more on that. But Mana Traders picked up where everybody else was avoiding, and that was Magic Online. For the past 3 months now, Mana Traders has ran these free roll arena events. They do open play for a couple of weeks, and once you hit a certain percentage across a certain number of games, then you make it to the Swiss rounds, and after Swiss rounds, it cuts to top 8, and then in top 8, you can win cash. You can win cash in all different, the first rounds of play, as well as the top 8. And cash prizes are upwards of, I believe it's $5,000 for first place, if I'm not mistaken.
$4,000.
Okay.
Four grand for a Mana Trader subscriber.
Yeah, for a Mana Trader subscriber for first place. But if you're not a Mana Trader subscriber, that's fine. You can still win $400 for first place. It's a 10 times multiplier for those that do subscribe.
And the subscription, just a base subscription, is relatively cheap just to get you in there.
Yeah.
Like, if you already have the cards, just take the little subscription and you're in.
Yep. It's a fantastic time. And Jerry, you actually played in it last month. And this past month here, July, in the Modern series.
Yeah, man. All right. So I'll go, I'll give you the rundown of it.
Absolutely.
So the way the phase one works is you play any number of games, but you must hit a certain percentage like you alluded to. Well, the percentages are, if you play 10 matches, you win 70%. That's 7 out of 10. You're qualified. If you have to go further than that, you don't make the 70%. And you have 20 matches, you have to win 65%. And then after that, you have to go 30 or more matches, and you must have a 60% win rate. So that's where it's at. That's your qualifier. If you ever meet that at any point upon winning that last match, you'll get a notification from Mana Traders that says, all right, you qualified. Here you go. Yeah. Then after that, you can continue playing to get placement, and a higher placement gives you prizes.
Hang on one second. Let me correct something real quick for you.
Sure.
So it's 10 to 19 matches with a 20 or with a 70% win rate.
Yeah, it's the in-between range.
Yep.
The way I said it might have been a little confusing.
Yeah, then 20 to 29 is that 65%, and then 30 or more, you need at least a 60% win rate.
There you go. But, so I did it in 10. I made my 70% in 10 matches of Magic.
Real quick question here. Do you have to play the same deck for those 10 matches?
No, you don't. You can switch.
So if you like, you realize, oh, I want to go in with, I want to try Infect. Infect is a really good combo deck. You could get that turn two kill, and like after three matches, you just get floored. You can swap it up to something else. Like
phase one allows any deck switches.
Yep.
And then phase two comes around. It's a that's a Swiss tournament. You're locked into your deck. And then phase three is the top eight cut on Sunday. So phase one, I played Ad Nauseam. I did 10 rounds of it and won 70% of my matches. If you remember from the stream, I saw, and I would have never thought I would have seen this, but I saw three copies, Tribal Elementals. I'm talking Lightning Skelemental, Aether Vial, Risen Reef, Mull Drifters. Like, this was a deck that people were playing.
Yeah, it was.
I saw that three times. Now, as Ad Nauseam goes, that's a free roll. You have to hit me specifically twice. I can take one shot of Lightning Skelemental. I can't take two, and it never happened. I won all those matches 2-0. So that was part of the reason why I was able to slide in so easily. But I won't go into too much detail on that. I really just want to go into the tournament itself, how I started.
How was matchmaking in Phase 1?
Matchmaking in Phase 1? Easy. What you do is the they have what is called the tournament practice room for your format. So you go into in this case it was Modern, so you go into the Modern Tournament Practice Room on Magic Online, and then on their website, you would say, you click the Mana Trader series, and you click Play Next Match. And the Mana Traders will actually put you and attach you to a person that you're going to play with. It'll tell you if they're making the room or if you're making the room. You make the room in the practice room, and then they end up playing you. If they don't show up, they just repair you in Phase 1. In Phase 2, if they don't show up, you win. So you got that. So in phase two, you should be, it says that if you're to make the room, you need to make the room. In phase one, you can make the room if they didn't for some reason, just to catch them. But in phase two, if you don't make the room when you're supposed to, you will get the round loss.
Now, how much time do you have to make that room?
5 minutes.
Okay.
And then, it's a 5 minute window.
Okay. And then you would just message Mana Traders and be like, hey, my opponent didn't show up, and they'll check and be like, yep, they're not there. And
yes. Yep, they'll do that.
Excellent. Now, what about match reporting? Did you have to report your matches at all?
Nope, they're auto-reported through the system.
Excellent. God, it seems so easy.
It feels a bit awkward that I'm making my rooms, but they don't care. Like, that, if that's the worst thing I have to do, that's great.
Yep. And then in that qualifier league, they have prizes for that too, like we said.
Placement prizes.
Yep. So 1st through 10th actually get cash prizes. For non-subscribers, it's $10 up to $100. And then for Mana Trader subscribers, multiply that by 10, $100 all the way up to 1,000.
Yep.
And then 11th through 20th, get a Mana Trader's credit, $5 or $50.
Yep. I was in, sadly, like 81st place.
Yeah.
I tried pushing it with other decks because people were on to me. Like, someone ended up messaging me, like, people know that I'm on Ad Nauseam. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to change it up. Just to break away from it.
Yeah, I think there were a couple players that were about 18-2.
Yep.
They had done very well, and they had claimed, one of them claimed the top spots for the qualifier.
And they were locked in forever.
Yeah. It was very easy. It was a blast to watch. And you got through your 10 games pretty quickly, too. I think it was, about a 3.5-hour stream?
Yeah, that was it.
I mean, granted, you were playing Ad Nauseam, so of course you're going to get through them quick. But it's not like at an Open or a GP where you're waiting for that control mirror to finish up in turns every round.
Yeah, it gets going.
There's no pairing systems to crash, so you're waiting for 3 hours for your next set of pairings. GP Charlotte, never forget. Or GP Vegas.
Never forget.
But no, yeah, it seemed like it's an absolute blast. Next month is actually going to be Legacy. So get your Legacy play in.
Now, sadly, I won't be able to do that because school's restarting and I will not have weekends off.
Gotcha.
But I will happily, I'll stream with you with the Legacy one. I'll watch you do your thing.
Yeah.
Are you gonna tell people what you're gonna play for the Legacy one?
Oh, absolutely. It's actually the cat's already out of the bag. I was watching. I guess there's so few people that play Legacy, or just I ran into a couple of the same people across the two leagues I've already played with the deck. So I've picked up Goblins as my Legacy deck. I don't have a lot of Legacy experience. I was going between three different decks. I was going between like a Turbo Depth style. I was going between Hogak just because I love Hogak and it can be broken. And then I was going between Goblins and put it out on Twitter, asked around the team. And a lot of people were like, bro, you need to be playing Goblins.
Absolutely, yeah. Goblins was one of the best strategies I'd seen in a while. Muxus is doing the work of the Lord in that deck.
Muxus is an incredible card, and for those that don't know, so Muxus came out in Jumpstart, and it's only legal in, I believe it's Historic, on Magic Arena. Yep, it's legal there. Legacy, Vintage, Commander, that's it.
And so, people are crying that it should be banned in Historic.
Yep. Muxus Goblin Grandee. So it is a 6-drop 4/4 legendary goblin. It costs 4 and 2 red. When Muxus enters the battlefield, reveal the top 6 cards of your library. Put all goblin cards with a converted mana cost of 5 or less from them onto the battlefield and put the rest in the bottom of your library. Whenever Muxus attacks, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn for each other attacking goblin you control.
It's literally Goblin Pile Driver, Goblin Ringleader, and then Goblin Lackey all in one card.
Yes. It is absolutely outstanding. And you can turn 3 it. That's the best part. You could actually even turn 2 it if you can turn 1 Goblin Lackey and connect with it, because Goblin Lackey then lets you put a goblin from your hand onto the battlefield.
Yep, Lackey lets you connect and do the thing.
Most of my setups were doing Lackey into Matron, and then with Matron out, pull up Muxus. So then my opponent knew, it's like, hey, turn 3, Muxus is going to hit the field if they can't answer my my Lackey. And a lot of times they couldn't, because I would have like 2 or 3 Goblin Lackeys on the field. And yeah, I'd be able to slam Muxus, and that generally led to a concession.
Yep. And in some cases, you can just cast it with Skirk Prospector and Mog War Marshal.
Yep.
Like, you just generate a buttload of mana, use your Cavernous Souls to protect it, and drop it.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I think it is a very easy deck to get into Legacy in case you're curious about it.
You do not have to play a single duel if you don't want to.
Yeah, no. It does run Badlands because it is a Rakdos version.
It is optional, yes.
But you don't need it.
Yeah, you don't need it. You have a combination of Cavernous Souls, Auntie's Hovel, and even Unclaimed Territories. Like, you're not forced into playing Badlands if you can't afford it.
Yep. And with Magic Online, too, it's like it's incredibly cheap comparative to, I would say, some of the other decks. It's 450 tickets, so most of your Mana Trader subscriptions can get it. But your Cavern of Souls is actually your most expensive lands in this deck at 100 tickets for a playset.
The only true Legacy land that's probably a requirement is there's the single or 2 copies of Caracas alongside some copies of Wasteland.
Yeah, the copy I was playing had 1 Caracas, 4 Wasteland. Yeah, that can get pricey. On Magic Online prices, Wasteland is only 80 tickets for a playset. Caracas is 3 tickets.
Okay.
And then Rashad and ports are pretty cheap too.
That's right. You're still playing the port, the aggro goblins. And it's, yep, like, you're also getting the choice of, like, do you want to go full aggro combo, aggro goblins, or full combo goblins? Yeah, your choice.
That's another thing too. I did punish a Charbelcher player real quick, so I want to bring this up. He was storming off. He didn't have the Goblin Charbelcher in hand, so instead they cast a Burning Wish. They pulled a Empty the Warrens from the side and cast it and made, I think it was a dozen. They had 12. I was on the play. They did this on turn 1. So I was going to take a hit from about 10 of them. That's fine. Why? Because I had my 1 of Goblin Chain Whirler in hand. And so on my turn 3, I slammed Goblin Chain Whirler, wiped their board, and then the next turn I played Muxus, or I was able to play Muxus, and they conceded.
My goblins are better than yours.
Pretty much. But in my first league I played, I got wrecked by Charbelcher with a turn 0 kill, really, and then a turn 1 kill the following turn. Our following game.
So with the version I was playing, I wasn't playing the Mog War Marshal Skirk Prospector or the Chain Whirler.
Okay.
I was playing the Conspicuous Snoop combo that's absolutely lit Modern Storm, you know, alongside the Muxus. And I got 2 funny turn 2 kills, of all things. Oh, wait, one of them was technically turn 1, so, but it was the second turn of the game just because of how it worked out. So I go, the one gamer I won on turn 1 was, or turn 2, is I played the Lackey. He plays Volcanic Island Delver of Secrets, and I did it off of Cavern of Souls. I know he doesn't have Vault, and his Daze isn't going to stop me. So I ended up playing a Munitions Expert on the next turn to shoot it, and then attacked the Lackey and brought in Muxus, and I hit Goblin Warchief, Conspicuous Snoop, and Boggart Harbinger all off the top.
Oh, wow.
That was game. That was that game. That was a turn 2. Dead Delver player is dead. The other thing I did, and this was against a Sneak and Show player, so historically Goblins has had such a piss poor matchup against Sneak and Show that you just kind of accept that it's a loss. But between now Caracas and Muxus, it went from an auto loss to now this matchup is very winnable. So he went turn one, Lotus Petal, Ancient Tomb, taps, plays Show and Tell. I'm assuming he's got like a Force of Will in his hand. I dropped Muxus, and he dropped Emrakul, and I flipped. I flipped the combo, Conspicuous Snoop, Boggart Harbinger.
Nice.
So, got him.
And Conspicuous Snoop, too, is also making waves not just in Legacy, but also in Modern. Modern Goblins has popped up, too. Goblins is coming up all over the place.
Goblins is so good. Like, it's your choice. Like, there's so many different Goblins decks in Modern, too, that I've seen.
And it's interesting because Goblins was, I know for a lot of old kitchen table Magic players, like I'm talking late 90s, early 2000s, Goblins was one of those tribal decks we all gravitated towards.
It was very good back then.
Mm-hmm. And now to be able to see it again, when I ordered up, because I did order the pieces for Goblins, the way I decided to quote-unquote pimp it out was I got the oldest printing of every card that I could. So I went Tempest, Urza's Saga, all of those sets for my Modern Conspicuous Snoop combo Goblins.
Got him. But yeah, so there's like three different versions of the deck. You have the all-in Goblin Tribal, where you just have like 36 Goblins, 4 Aether Vials, and 20 lands.
Yep.
That one seems to be the most common one I've seen. There's also Aether Vial, Thought Seize, Inquisition, Dark Confidant, sort of pseudo-Jund Goblins build, if you will. Because it plays more like a mid-range deck with a combo out rather than an actual Goblin Tribal aggro deck with a combo out.
Right.
You know, use your Thought Seizes, Inquisitions to protect the combo and then just lay it into them. And then that's how you win. And then there's one version where it's a Mardu deck where they're playing 4 mainboard Magus of the Moon, 4 mainboard Giver of Runes, 3 mainboard Restoration Angel alongside Kiki Jiki because that's an infinite combo too. And it's playing this weird Mardu all-in multi-combo deck with a Giver of Runes to kind of protect it.
Weird.
Really cool deck. I thought that was a real unique use of it.
Oh, definitely.
And, yeah. So, like, you have your choice of how Goblins wants to work.
Yeah. It's pretty much like build your own deck, throw some Goblins in, and it can be really good.
I mean, just as long as you have the 12 required cards for the combo, and then after that, it's kind of go from there.
Yep.
Which is your 4 Harbingers, your 4 Snoops, your 2 Sling Gangs, and your 2 Kiki Jikis.
Yeah, but I can't wait to start the August event. They're going to post soon when it's going to start on Mana Traders. I believe they say it starts the second Monday. Phase 1 is what they say. Yeah, starting the second Monday of each month. So that puts it at our August 10th should start the Phase 1 play. And it will go until about August 26th, so 16 days. It normally ends the Wednesday before the weekend. 29th will be your Swiss rounds. 30th will be your top 8.
Okay.
And yeah, I'll keep jamming some Goblin Leagues. I might stream. If we do, it'll probably only be once a week streams just with Jerry's schedule and my schedule to make things a little bit easier. We'll be posting it on Twitter, on our Facebook page too. So just look for us on social media. Just look up the Snapcast and you should find us. And if not, check for Team Snapcast and you will find us and we'll be there. Now some other things to talk about too. Gen Con is coming up. Sadly, the in-person events have been canceled, but we do have Gen Con online. And what's really awesome with this is they are doing Magic events still. It's going to be 4 days of essentially a Magic Fest or an open weekend, and they're going to have events happening. There's different packages you can buy. If you go to pastimesevents.com, it'll have all the event info, and it'll get you into a certain number of events. But what's really neat is for the Legacy and the Vintage events that they're doing, you get access to almost every card that you need to play for the weekend. So you don't even need a Mana Traders account. They just want you to come and play.
Yay!
You will win prize tickets, and those prize tickets are then redeemable on their prize wall. And I think it's a really good conversion factor. One ticket is a booster pack, a physical booster pack of any standard set. And they even have booster packs for your collector packs as well, and those come in at 8 tickets apiece. You can get Double Masters online only, it appears. Yeah. Looks like they're only online redeemable packs for 4 tickets each. but you can still get access to those, and then you can hopefully sell those premium cards for Magic Online tickets and then use that money to get into other events on Magic Online. But definitely check it out. Again, that's pastimeevents.com, and I'll have all the information for Gen Con weekend, and that starts tomorrow or today, depending on when we're able to get this episode out, July 30th. And then lastly, I think the biggest thing I want to talk about here, Jerry, we got a new master set coming out next week.
Yeah, boy.
Actually, there's two more things. We're going to talk about Double Masters, and then we're going to talk a little bit on Zendikar Rising. But first, we're going to get to Double Masters. I was skeptical at first on Double Masters when I first saw it. I saw what the price was going to be. We're looking, you know, between $300 to $350 a box, depending on where you're going. They have these VIP boosters that are $100 a pack. And it's like, what's going on? But then more and more details came out. Cards started getting spoiled. And I'll give it. This set looks pretty awesome.
A lot less complaining about the Tron lands once you understand, oh, wait, if I get a Tron land full art foil, that's still like $100 eventually.
Yeah. So
a lot less complaining about that.
It is a big reprint set. And I'll give my 2 cents on this. If you have the cards that you already need, you need to be buying VIP boosters, I feel. The reason for that is the VIP boosters are going to have these exclusive full art VIP edition cards available to you. And this is the only place you're going to be able to get them foiled. And they are gorgeous. We're talking about brand new arts for Exploration, Noble Hierarch, Thoughtseize. Blood Moon is beautiful. Of course, you got Blightsteel Colossus, Mana Crypt. They were spoiled early. We're starting to get the swords now. Feast and Famine, Fire and Ice, Light and Shadow, War and Peace. Your Tron lands were in here, and this is what started a lot of contention, because we have some cards that have been shifted in rarity for these full arts from common or uncommon up to rare, and a lot of people were upset.
Here's my 2 cents on that. All you have to do is look up the prices of the foil versions that are accessible to us now of the cards that are there, and they go for a pretty penny.
Yeah, like your Tron lands, foil tower, power plant, or mine from 8th edition. You're looking at
they vary between $70 to $100 depending on your seller and condition.
Yep,
like a Benjamin for just one copy of Urza's Tower. Like, I don't think you're gonna be mad if you pull a full art foil at Urza's Tower.
No,
I'm gonna be like, yeah, get over yourself. Same thing with Fatal Push. I think that's just another one. Like, get over yourself. There isn't a single card in here that if it came out and I pulled it, I would be upset at for pulling it as my full art foil.
Yep.
Not one.
And the thing is, in these VIP boosters, you're not just getting one. Okay, it's Double Masters. You're getting two.
Yep.
Let me pull up the breakdown for VIP booster Double Masters.
Now, with these full arts, are they at least available in non-foil and regular boosters?
So, That's one thing I'm not 100% certain on.
See, I don't know how they work outside of VIP boosters are just giving gimped out stuff for $100 a pop.
Yeah, I believe the non-foils can possibly be pulled, but the foils are only available in the VIP boosters.
I figured that makes sense. That was my understanding too.
How it is, but there are 40 total of these VIP full arts, and I think they're all finally spoiled.
You look on Mythic Spoiler.
Yep.
The last card was spoiled as one of the cards, I'm pretty sure. It's one that was spoiled not officially. It was a black card. Toxic Deluge.
Okay.
If you look up on it, up in the top row where all the cards are separated by their single colors, Toxic Deluge is there in a full artwork form. So, sad day for me, no full art foil ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Ho-hum. Feels like a miss. Another Thoughtseize promotional Gucci printing, but not for ad nauseum.
Yeah, but you also get access to these beautiful John Avon full art lands, as well as the Noah Bradley Battle for Zendikar full arts. So the contents that you're going to get, you will get two foil borderless cards. Only found in VIP edition with a rare symbol will appear twice as often as the mythic rares. Okay, so you got a better chance of getting two rares, obviously, than you do two mythics. Then you're going to get two foil rares and mythics, non-borderless. And this could be any of them. You're going to get 8 foil uncommons, 9 foil commons, and then you're going to get 10 full art basics, only found in VIP, 2 of each. So you will be getting both the John Avon and the Noah Bradleys. And then you get 2 foil full arts, only found in VIP, 2 random ones, and 2 foil tokens.
Is that a VIP booster?
That is a VIP booster. Total of 33 cards, carrying the hefty price tag of between $95 and $100 a pack.
Yeesh.
Yeah, they are the premium ones.
I think the only way I'm getting that is through store credit, I'm going to be honest.
I pre-ordered 4 of them, and I will be opening those up on probably on stream. I'll probably do one as just like a teaser, and then if you want to see the other 3 get opened, obviously we'll have different stream goals and things like that in the form of followers. We still have Ikoria Collector Boosters and Ikoria Box Toppers 2 to open up as well. And then I have an M21 Collector Booster Pack I think I'm going to be going through as well. But as far as the normal VIP, or sorry, Double Masters packs, in case you don't want to spend $100. So what's going to come in a Double Masters pack? So the Double Masters Booster Pack is... And the Double Masters Booster Packs, just like in the title, you have double the rares, double the foils. And the rest of the pack is going to be typical of your normal 15-card pack. So everything else, you have 3 uncommons, 8 commons, and then you're going to have your 2 mythic rares and your 2 foils.
All right.
While drafting this set, too, an interesting thing they decided to do with Double Masters is you get 2 picks on your... Or you get to pick 2 cards on your first pick.
Oh, that's... Oh, come on. That's not fun. You just pick both of your rares.
I mean, maybe... Or you can pick your pieces so you can draft Turbo Depths. Because they do have Turbo Depths in this set. It's unique. At first, whenever they spoiled everything, people were like, oh, look, it's Tron Masters. It's Mono Blue Tron. This is what we wanted. Because it was a lot of Tron-heavy pieces. We saw the Tron lands. We saw Karn.
A lot of Mono Tron cards in here, too.
Yep. So it's like, okay. But then we also got cards that were like, oh, wait, we can play Turbo Depths. And for those that don't know... cards like Vampire Hexmage, Crop Rotation, and Dark Depths got spoiled. So it's like, oh, hey, we get to do this now. And it's a wonderful set. We're not going to go over it just because it is a reprint set. It's, I think, one of the better Master sets we've seen in a while. I think this blows Masters 25 out of the water. I think it blows Iconic Masters out of the water, Ultimate Masters. A beautiful set. It did kind of bring down some value in cards, but some of the cards needed to come down, I think.
Right. So Thopter Sword is also in here.
Yes.
Sword of the Meat got... But out of the 2 cards, Sword of the Meat got rare shifted up. Thopter Foundry is the uncommon.
Yep.
The more usable card is at uncommon. It's kind of funny to me.
I know the land cycle. A lot of people really weren't the biggest of fans when it came to the land cycle. It's the filter lands.
Yeah, these needed to be reprinted anyways, right?
That's what I saw. So we saw half of them reprinted recently in one of our master sets. And so now we're getting the other half of them. And I want to say it was the Cascade Bluff cycle that was printed already.
Yeah, it was the Eventide enemy cycle.
Yes. Yeah, that cycle was already printed. Right. Yeah, so now we're getting the Allied cycle on top of the Eventide
cycle. Yeah. And these cards, I mean, they needed to be reprinted anyways. They're being reprinted with functional wording versus what they used to have. And I have the distinct feeling that these are probably going to be possibly standard playable at some point again.
I would maybe hope not, so.
Maybe not in Zendikar, and that kind of leads us... Nice caveat here, what we think is going to come in Zendikar.
Yeah. But as far as Double Masters go... Your booster pack prices here, because I didn't cover your booster pack price.
Oops, forgot that.
You're looking at probably about $15 to $20 per booster pack for the set.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Now, you can get boxes as it is 24 packs per box, and a box also comes with double the box toppers. So you can see booster boxes go for anywhere between, I'm seeing about $320 is the cheapest, all the way up, to, again, possibly $375. Some places have them as high as $400. Unless you really want to support that place, go for it. I think you're paying too much at that point.
Yep.
And that's where I came in at mine was I saw, okay, this is what I want to spend I have every card from this set that I could want for my collection for my purpose. So now I'm hunting full arts at this point. And having things like sort of Body of Mind, Force of Will, Mind Sculptor. Like there are some,
Skull.
Yeah, there are some beautiful full arts that they have. The Blood Moon, I think, is absolutely gorgeous.
The Thought Seize got me laughing.
Yep.
The fairy stealing the puzzle piece from the dude's head.
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It's going to be a very interesting set. I think it's going to be a blast to draft if you're able to do it in a safe environment with your friends. Of course, just biggest thing, stay safe, as always. As you know, we talked earlier about paper events. And then lastly, Zendikar Rising is coming up. And there's a couple fun things leading into a Zendikar Rising. First, there's going to be new dual lands, is what they said. So never printed legendary dual lands. What do you think we could possibly see, Jerry?
So you said legendary dual lands, right?
I'm fairly certain that is the announcement that they made.
Well, all right. Now that you mentioned that they're legendary, dang. Originally, I had some type of idea where it was like a filter land, where it was the land itself makes no mana. Like it, almost like the original filter lands back in this is an old set. I remember the set.
But talking Apocalypse?
The Apocalypse, where instead of making any mana at all, they specifically required a color filter in there. And I assumed, like, for example, there'd be like one says green, one of the lands says green, tap, produce green colorless.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But now that you have legendary, you think they're just going to be straight duels? Like, this produces green and colorless? No questions asked?
It's possible. It's possible it could be that. But another thing, too, though, that is, will there be Eldrazi? If there's going to be Eldrazi in the set, then I really think that we can see a dual land that will produce a colorless mana or a colored mana source.
For Eldrazi?
The colorless mana does target, you know, being able to cast like your Eldrazi creatures, because we saw like with Reality Smasher, it required a colorless mana or a waste to cast.
It specifically did.
Yep.
But I think it's called Kabir. It's something Crossroads, where it was a land that produced color for Devoid Eldrazi. If you remember that land.
I don't.
You don't? Okay. It was in a.
Would have been Battle for Zendikar or Shadows?
No, it was definitely in Oath of the Gatewatch.
Okay.
I think. I'll look for that. You keep going here on what you were going on. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Oh, no, you're fine. But so with it, yeah, there's different things that we could use. Oh, here we go. It's Corrupted Crossroad.
Ah, I knew it.
And it incorporated Pain Land. It's possible that these legendaries could be fetchable too, if they wanted to make them fetchable. I think that would be fantastic and also just miserable for Modern, because Eldrazi is popping up to be one of the top tier decks, and being able to get that waste and that green for, say, a Worldbreaker. Ancient Stirrings, I think would be slightly busted. But regardless from that. So we're going to get that. We're going to get some new mechanics. They said it's going to be land-centric, so Landfall could be coming back as well. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Zendikar Rising as we get into release and spoiler season. When it comes to the release date for Zendikar Rising, the release date for Zendikar Rising is going to be September 25th. So we still got about 2 months before this comes out. So we should be seeing spoiler season starting then at the beginning of September. So we'll be talking about that in our next episode, then leading up into it, see what other tidbits have come out since then when it comes to Zendikar Rising.
I mean, there's a reason Azusa Lost But Seeking is an M21. I think they want to make that card good in Standard.
Yep.
Just saying. That card's such a, like, out of all those cards in that set, that one is such a glaring, like, why is this even here? Because Azusa wasn't good in Azusa was okay in Standard. I shouldn't say it wasn't good. It was used in the old school Heartbeat of Spring combo, if you want to look that up. But that deck was always kind of a dog to everything in the format that was Control.
Yeah.
So, you know. So I think they want to give it another hurrah, so to speak.
Yep. But Zendikar Rising will be introducing another type of booster pack. So currently, if you look at what boosters we have available to us to buy, we have what are known as draft boosters, the typical booster pack that we get every day. We go to the store, pay about, you know, $250 or $399 depending on the price, and you got yourself a booster pack. 15 cards comes in it. You know you're going to get one rare, three uncommons. The rest are going to be commons with the chance of getting a foil. You have the collector boosters, which are the more premium ones. You're looking at probably $10 to $20 per pack. And now we're going to have what is called a set booster. And these set boosters are going to be targeting those who want to open packs for fun. Those that just, they're going for the chase. They want an exciting pack. And with the draft boosters, like, okay, the biggest thing almost everybody does, go to that back card. What's my rare or mythic? All right, great, next pack. And they move on. Unless there's some good chase commons or uncommons. Well, in these set boosters, they broke it down. They're calling them four different chapters, almost like it's a story. And you're going to have the welcome chapter, the fireworks, the big finish, and the epilogue. Those are the names they gave them. If it sells the product, it sells the product. So what are we going to get in each of these? Well, in the first part, the welcome spot. Okay, first thing you're going to see is a art card, very similar to what we saw in Modern Horizons. Just a collectible card that is a landscape art of, I believe it's 80 different cards total that they're doing for the set. So it'll be neat, something for you to like just collect on the side. Then you're going to have your land slot. Chance of getting a foil land, they're saying is 15%. And then you go into your connected commons and uncommons. So you got six cards here where you can get a mix of between five commons and one uncommon, or zero commons and six uncommons. And they break down the percentages on their announcement for set boosters. If you want to see what those percentages are, you can look it up. Just do a Google search for Zendikar set boosters. The most common things, though, that you're going to see is either five commons and one uncommon, or four commons and two uncommons. That's going to be about 75% of the packs. Next up, you get what's called the fireworks, okay? Coming at your ninth card in the pack, you got what they call the head turner, okay? And this is going to be either a common or uncommon showcase card, or a card that's a cool element of the set that has yet to be discussed. So you could get either a showcase card or just something that's really cool about the set. Next, you get wild rarity slots. Okay, and here you can get anything from two commons, because it's two cards, so your 10th and 11th card, anything from two commons all the way up to two rares or mythic rares. So your one pack now can contain up to, at this point, three rares or mythics. Most common thing you're going to see is probably a double common coming in at about 50%, and then common uncommon closing out 25%. So again, a 75% chance of getting just a common and uncommon, or a common and a common. But it's not impossible to get double rare. By rare, they do also mean mythic rare too. But they state that...
So there's a weird possibility you get like three mythics in one pack?
It is possible for you to get four mythics in a pack.
Hey, even better.
Yep, and we'll get to that. They also say there is a 25% chance to get a rare in this spot too, because of the breakdowns that they have. Next up, you have your guaranteed rare or mythic rare spot and the big finish. And then you have a foil slot, a dedicated foil slot, just like we have in Masters packs. They are now including that in these set boosters. And it can be any rarity. So yes, there is the chance for you to get four mythics in one pack.
Okay, I see it. That's really good, yeah.
It is very slim, but not impossible. You're probably looking at about a 1% or less chance of that.
I want to be that guy. I want four mythics in one pack.
Right. And then the last thing is going to be your token or your ad card. So your typical, it's, you know, like your 2-2 zombie token, or, hey, play Magic Arena. Here's why you should play Magic Arena, and we don't like LGSs or whatever. These set boosters, though, are coming at a more premium price. If you go ahead and look online, you can start to see these set booster boxes are selling for a higher price, and there are fewer packs in these set boxes. So a Zendikar set booster box has 30 packs, whereas your normal booster box has 36. And on Amazon right here, I'll go ahead and say this is one of the places I look now. $127 for 30 packs. So you're already looking at just over $4 right here on Amazon. Expect the price to be higher in your LGS is more than likely, or right around that same price. And your normal booster boxes then are coming in for Zendikar Rising. Booster box is coming in at about $120. So there's about a $5 difference, but there's also a six-pack difference. So they are more expensive than your typical draft pack. So now you got your draft packs being your bottom line, typical prize support, classic packs. Now you have your set boosters and you have your collector boosters. Jerry, what do you think?
This is great. Like, being able to just possibly open up a pack with just a bunch of uncommons is probably the dream. This will alleviate, like, the issue of, like, I open up a set and I open up only two copies of an uncommon in a box.
That is one of the most frustrating things. Or even opening up a case and barely, like, getting just over a playset of an uncommon because that uncommon is, like, a super rare uncommon.
Right, just for some stupid reason, in that line, it's rare uncommon.
Yep.
I can't stand that. I hate it. And this alleviates that problem. I hope we don't draft these. This feels undraftable.
No, these are not designed for drafting. Stores should not be drafting with these. These are specifically for, again, those that just want to open packs for fun. Now, what it does offer, though, is a more premium prize support. So if you want to do a little bit of a more premium event instead of, you know, your typical, like, because there was one game shop that we went to where, like, I think F&M was maybe $3. Okay, super dirt cheap. They only threw in, like, a draft pack per person just because that's what they liked for the crowd that they got. We weren't big fans of it because we wanted more. But now if you increase that buy into, like, $5, now you can put in a set booster per player.
Oh, okay.
And now you're looking at, I mean, the store's still going to make money on that because the store's paying less than this, $125 or even $130 per box. They're probably getting theirs at like anywhere between 80 and 100. So they're still making money off that. And you feel like you're winning more now whenever you get even just one booster pack at that point. Because you could open up double rare. You could open up, I mean, the dream pack for mythics. So I like the idea that we can have a slightly more premium prize pool without too much of an increase in entry.
Yeah, that sounds great. I could do that.
We'll see, though, what more has to come out of Zendikar Rising. Double Masters will be fully spoiled. It should be fully spoiled now, and if not, by tomorrow, with release coming out next Friday, that being August 5th or August 7th. It's going to be great. I can't wait to go pick up my stuff and start cracking.
All right, Rob.
Yep.
Question for you, then, since you're cracking these.
Yes.
What would one card in the mythic slot, if you opened it, would make you sad in your VIP booster?
That would make me sad. What would be the saddest mythic card?
What is the biggest bust for you?
All right, let me take a look here.
I know what my bust is, and it doesn't just have to be like the VIP full art. It could be any mythic as well.
Okay. Well, I think for VIP full art, the saddest rare, I think I'm gonna have to go with probably Avacyn.
You went with Avacyn.
I think Avacyn or Kalia would be my absolute saddest.
Okay.
Of that.
I went with Chrome Mox.
Really?
Chrome Mox would make me... Okay, because I'm taking Commander into account here. Chrome Mox isn't played as heavily in Commander as compared to other Moxen, and it's not even played as heavily in Legacy as is other artifact acceleration.
Yeah, I mean,
Diamond, I'm looking at you.
Okay.
But Avacyn and Kalia have such a high ceiling in Commander that they can hold. I think they can hold a price. I would actually be a little upset if I cracked a Chrome Mox.
Okay. So the reason why I go against a Chrome Mox is because Chrome Mox does still even have value as a non-foil. So that's why I see the exclusivity of the foil full art. I don't know as much about the price on the two cards that I named.
Yeah, Kalia and Avacyn. Avacyn always holds like a $30 price tag. It ballparks in that range. And Kalia kind of sort of in the same area. Chrome Mox, man, it's up in the air whenever it hits. Whenever it does good in the Legacy event, it goes up in price.
Gotcha.
But the card just... You don't really play Chrome Mox in a Commander. Because okay. there are other Moxen and Mana Rocks you play, and I take that into account with my card. Like if I opened up Cyclonic Rift, I would absolutely be the happiest person in the world.
Okay.
Where other people would be upset, but I'd be like, it's like a $30 Commander card, just as regular rare from RTR. This is like $100. This is like $100 ceiling higher just because of the version.
Yeah, no, Cyclonic Rift is definitely a really good rare, and that threw me off whenever I saw the price of it, and I was going through mine. So now let's go non-VIP.
Non-VIP.
What mythic would make me the saddest for non-VIP?
Non-VIP.
And I'm going to have to go with my green bro up here, Avenger of Zendikar. I think that would be my absolute saddest. Second would probably be Get Lord of the Vault.
I was going to go Archangel of Thune is actually my saddest.
Okay.
Because, and what it boils down to is Commander.
Yep.
So the cards here on here that aren't played in the Mythic slot, that aren't played in any competitive format, then you have to take into account their Commander playability. And Geth, Avacyn, Mana Echoes, Doubling Season, and Avenger of Zendikar are all, like, staples in their respective colors. Or, in Geth's case, respective archetype. Like, if there's a thing that you want to do with artifacts and creatures to do to do fast recursion a bunch of times over and over again, or just be zombie tribal, Geth is kind of that guy.
Okay. And
he's been the go-to commander for that. I was going to say, Archangel of Thune is, like, the sadness on the stack. The card used to be such a competitive hitter in the devoted druid style decks, and we don't even touch it anymore. And it's like the weakest of these cards in Commander.
So my dispute with that would have to be Geth currently carries a $1 price tag. Archangel of Thune still carries a $20+ price tag.
Certainly.
So that's, like, as far as value wise, that's where I see that coming in. You're coming in from a player standpoint, which is significantly different where I'm coming in with it.
Yep, you're coming from a value standpoint.
Yep. I mean,
where, like, Avenger of Zendikar, you said, was actually pretty saddening. I'm like, yeah, the card's been printed like 4 times now.
Yeah. I mean, Vengevine, you can argue that Vengevine would be bad. Arkham, Dagson. Like, there's a few mythics here, and they have to do it. They can't make everything worth, you know, 10, 20 bucks because it's going to devalue it in the either mass selling or. The ceiling on the price of this is going to be outrageous and people aren't going to want to buy it.
Yeah, people just won't buy it. Yep. However, for the most part, outside of the one mythic that I kind of looked at, the rest of them I would be absolutely happy with.
Yeah, all these cards in one way, shape, or form, I believe have good playability in formats. I don't think there's too many just full-on dead cards in this set when it comes to the rare or the mythic slot.
Right, nothing here is absolutely positively dead.
Yep, and that's one thing I like about it, was they actually gave us a lot of good playable cards. And I look forward to
opening. How many mythics are in the set, 30?
I believe so. Let me
that's what it looks like. It looks like 30. I'm like, that's a ton of mythics. 30 mythics and 15 of them are artifacts.
36 mythics, 109 rares, 30 okay. Uncommons, 12 commons.
And 15 mythics are so far artifacts.
Spoiled. Yeah, that's so far of what's spoiled right now. 187 cards out of the overall set. But it's going to be good. Pre-order prices, we have a significant number of cards at the $20 mark or higher, and then even more at the $10 mark and up. So, like, the value is there. Now, you're not going to make your money back on every VIP pack you buy, but I think it's not unheard of to get close to 50% of that value, to have $50 in value out of a VIP pack, if not more.
Yeah, just crack that foil full art, Jason, you're good.
Yeah, let's real quick here. Okay, so they got nothing on foil prices. Pre-order prices right now, non-foil stuff. You got Mana Crypts at 112 and Force of Will is coming in at 99. Jace the Mind Sculptor at 65.
It's funny that they're still printing cards like Force of Will in this, as that's a legacy staple.
Yep.
It's just weird we got a few legacy staples making it in here, so I know they're not completely ignoring it.
Now they just need to get a little bit more vintage staples, right?
Right, and they need to ban Oko and restrict Oko, but whatever.
All right, well, I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everyone, for hanging out and coming and listening again. I know it's been a while. We're going to continue, like I said, to get these episodes out probably about once a month or so. If there's something you want to hear about or something that pops up that you think is pretty cool, shoot us a message on Facebook, shoot us a message on Twitter. We'll get back to you. And if we think it's really cool too, we'll probably talk about it for a good 10, 15 minutes here on the Snapcast.
Absolutely. Ask me questions. Ask Rob questions. I know you all want to hear my garbage opinions.
Exactly.
I'm kidding, guys. My opinions aren't garbage. They're great.
They're all right. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. Y'all have a fantastic evening.
Oh, snap.